Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad you're with us for this edition today. If you have a Bible question or a life issue you'd like to discuss, the lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742. Of course, that's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it right now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, you read the Word of God, and there's so much good stuff in there, so much encouragement, so much hope, so much blessing to embrace and to experience. And then there's some other things in the Bible you just wish weren't true.
Yeah.
And some of the things are the fact that in this world we're going to have trials and tribulations. Mm-hmm. Jesus said that. Every other writer of the New Testament says that as well. And just wish that wasn't the case. Right. Wish it was all just easy sailing, just smooth from start to finish. But that's not the world that we live in.
No.
I mean, we encounter all kinds of trials and tribulations. Why? Because primarily we live in a world that is anti-God, anti-Jesus, anti-Christian.
Yes.
That's just the reality. That's just the way it is. Satan makes sure of that. So he put a world system into place way back in the Garden of Eden. That world system has continued even down to today. But Jesus has entered into that and has saved us and rescued us out of that darkness and placed us into his grace, into his love, into his mercy, into his kingdom. That's the good news. And so as believers today, we are ambassadors. We are representatives of Christ in this world of darkness. So we're going to have trials and tribulations. That's just the way it is. But here's the encouragement from the Apostle Peter. He says, first and foremost, we have a living hope. We've been born again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And not only do we have a living hope, we have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for us, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So God is the one saving us. God is the one sustaining us by his power. He is guarding us. Why? Because it takes his power to do that.
Yes.
We can't keep ourselves saved. That's on God's shoulders, and he is carrying out that responsibility with happiness and joy. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we're a treasured possession. He actually loves us. And so we have this living hope, we have this inheritance, and we rejoice because of those things. And even though now for a little while, as he says in verse 6 of 1 Peter 1, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. Though you have not seen him, you love him.
Yeah.
That's what faith is all about. We've never seen God. He's spirit. We can't see him. And we haven't seen Jesus. We haven't seen the physical Jesus like the disciples did way back when. But through the revelation of Christ by the Spirit, we have seen the glory of God in Jesus, and that has done something to us on the inside, that we love God, even though that we don't see him. And so you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So what is the thing that anchors us? What is the thing that keeps us in the midst of these trials and tribulations? The fact that we love God, the fact that God has put that love in our hearts for him. And the things of this world, they're going to come at us, and they're going to try to tug us back and try to pull our hearts and our minds back mm-hmm. toward the world so that our affections are where they once were. But that can't happen. Why? Because we're in Christ. We've been born again unto a living hope. We have an inheritance that's being kept for us. We are being guarded by the very power of God. And so we have this love of God love for God that trumps anything and everything that we could experience in this world. And that's the anchor for our soul. And that's what's going to guard us. That's what's going to keep us as the world throws stuff at us.
Absolutely. Bob, good thoughts as we begin this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher and I, Bob Davis, we are welcoming you at 844-322-2742 right now. If you have something you'd like to discuss, something to add to the conversation, a life issue, a Bible question, we encourage your call right now, 844-322-2742. Bob, early this morning, you sent out a rather urgent email appeal to our listeners and friends concerning the need of support by September 30th. Can you elaborate on that for us now?
Well, Bob, it's just a pattern. And over the many years of ministry, we've just seen a pattern in how contributions come into Basic Gospel. We have a really good June. That's our fiscal year end. And then July and August just dip, go right into the tank.
Yeah.
Part of that is the summer doldrums. Part of that is the fact that people have given to help close our books. And so by the time September hits, we need to make an appeal and say, hey, let's close the gap that's been developed over the last couple of months. So we need $50,000 between now and September 30th. That is going to do a lot to keep this outreach going.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can give whatever it might be, $25, $50, $100, $1,000, whatever you have and are comfortable in giving, we ask you to give today.
Yeah.
Or between now and September 30th to help us out through this rough patch, so to speak.
Yeah.
So this is a pattern. This happened last year. It happened the year before. It happened the year before that. As far back as I remember, we see some lines of how giving comes in. And you know, we have down times, we have up times, but it's a consistent year to year pattern.
Yeah.
So if we can help break that pattern, that low dip, and really give generously between now and September 30th, that would mean a whole lot to all of us, and we'll keep this outreach going. So please make a contribution today.
Well, there it is, friends. We would love to hear from you. As Bob said today, you can donate at basicgospel.net, a big prominent donate link right there on the home page. Help us get the word out, friends, and when you give this month, you're going to receive a copy of our DVD called Your Living Hope. So again, click donate at basicgospel.net. Once again, the number, 844-322-2742. If we're moving to about 8 minutes past the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time. So if you're hearing the broadcast at that time, it is the live broadcast, and we would love for you to be a part of the conversation right now. 844-322-2742. In the meantime, Bob, we had this call that came in from Cody in Salem, Oregon. Let's listen.
Hi, this is Kobe from Salem, Oregon. The first miracle that Jesus did, I believe he made wine for people at a wedding. I was told he made 60 gallons of wine. If that was the case, wouldn't that mean that everybody at that wedding got drunk? And I kind of thought that was a sin to get drunk. So confused by why would he make so much wine for everyone to get drunk if he didn't want us doing that. Thank you much. God bless. Bye-bye.
Well, Cody, there's a lot of symbolism with this sign. As John said at the very end of his gospel account, all these things have been written so that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing in him, you might have life in his name. So every single miracle that we see performed in all of Jesus's life is to point us to that end result, that we would know who Jesus really is so that we could receive him and experience life everlasting. So the wine is symbolic of grace, really, in the Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New, when Jesus raised the cup of wine there at the Lord's Supper. It was the cup of the new covenant that was about to be ratified. And this new covenant is a covenant of life. And so when we receive Jesus, we receive life. So that's the information, or that's the symbolism of the water into wine. There's some other symbolism as well. Moses hit a rock and out came water. Well, these cisterns were rock, and so out of these cisterns comes the very life of God, represented by the wine.
Right.
Now, as far as the amount, you're a little bit low, 60 gallons. It was actually six cisterns, and you know, some people think those were 20 to 30 gallons each.
Hmm.
So that could be up to 180. Could be just 10 gallons each, which would be 60.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere between 60 and 180 gallons of wine that Jesus made.
It was a lot,
now,
whatever.
That's exactly right. Well, there's a couple of things. We don't know how many people were here. We just don't know. The guest list, we aren't privy to that, but apparently the whole city of Cana was there, and this was a festive occasion. But don't get caught up in the amount of wine and whether or not the people got drunk or didn't get drunk. Look at the symbolism, and let this miracle point you to Jesus, and help you understand who he is, that he truly is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he's come to offer life. Through Moses came the law. Through Jesus Christ comes grace and truth, and with that grace and truth comes eternal life.
Yes, indeed. Well, we hope that's a help to you, Cody. Thank you for reaching out to us. If you have further questions, give us a call.
Well, thanks. Let's go to Michigan, Royal Oak, Michigan, and talk to Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Doing okay. What's on your mind today?
Okay. Let's go to Matthew 8. Go down to 8:20. Okay. Well, first of all, Jesus is healing lepers. He's healing a captain's servant. He's controlling a storm. All kinds of crazy stuff is going on all around him. And then there's a fellow that walks up to him and says, "Master, I'll follow thee wherever you go." And Jesus' reply was kind of, it kind of threw me. I didn't know why. And I'll let you expound on it.
Well, he's just giving basically the cost of following Jesus,
okay.
and he's basically saying, "Listen, if you want to follow me, then it's not a life of comfort and ease and luxury. Foxes have holes; they have a place to go at night." Birds of the air have nests. They have a place to go at night. But he says the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And then another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." So he's making these calls. And then when he lays it out there, what it really means to follow Christ, then people start making excuses. So that's kind of the symbolism here and what Jesus is getting at in this particular deal. You know, people were following him because of the miracles. They wanted a miraculous thing to happen in their life. So when Jesus fed the 5,000, man, the crowd was just ecstatic. They couldn't believe that happened. And so they followed Jesus, wanting more food for the belly.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, "You need to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood." And he said the crowd dispersed. Why? Because those were hard words. They didn't quite understand what he was talking about. And he looked at the disciples and said, do you want to leave as well? And Peter stood up and said, where would we go? You alone have the words of eternal life.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to have eternal life, there's only one place to find it, and that's in Jesus. So we're going to have to leave the comfort of the world. We're going to have to leave what we felt was maybe a good life apart from Christ. We're going to have to lay that down so that we can receive the real life that's only available in Jesus Christ himself.
Awesome.
Does that make sense?
Basically, yes, it does. I mean, I kind of was hinting at it, or at least I believe it's just a confirmation for me, because it's kind of like, yeah, the Holy Spirit was saying there's a cost to following me.
Yes, yes. So we see, for example, in Romans, the old man is crucified. So we die in Christ. You know, Mike, the first chapter of the Good News story is death, isn't it? Jesus right. Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture. Well, who in the world starts a good news story with death? But yet that's how the gospel starts. And then we, when we receive it, guess what happens? We die in Christ, we're buried in Christ, and then we're raised to walk in the newness of life. So it's a death, burial, and resurrection for us as well. So he's hinting at what that's going to look like in all of these different stories that he is teaching in his ministry. So this foxes have holes and birds have nests is a part of that to show that, hey, if you really want life, you're going to have to die to that old so that you can come alive in me.
All right. Thank you so much, Bob.
Well, you're welcome, Mike. Great to hear from you, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
Let me put you on hold. Have you ever read my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace?
I haven't, sir.
Hey, let me put you on hold and send you a copy. Would you like a copy?
Complimentary.
Outstanding. Sounds great.
Okay, let me put you on hold, and we will send it to you just to say thanks for joining us on today's broadcast and giving us a great question. You hold on, okay, my friend?
Nice gift. Yeah. Well, friends, if you'd like to get a copy of Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, you can go online to our website, basicgospel.net. Under resources, you'll find our store, and there you'll find, in the store, you'll find Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and so many of the resources that we've produced to aid you toward, spiritual growth and maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. So take advantage of it. Again, that's under resources in the store at basicgospel.net. Well, friends, you know, giving to the work of Jesus Christ through Basic Gospel is a sure way of making an investment with an eternal impact. Countless people right here in North America find themselves in circumstances that move them into a downward spiral toward depression and despair. They are without hope until they hear the good news and receive the good news provider. That's why your gifts make a difference here at Basic Gospel. Your support enables Basic Gospel to be on the air and online every day, teaching a message of hope in the love and grace of Jesus Christ. That's a priceless gift of truth right there. Please help Basic Gospel to help them. Your gifts do make a difference, so click donate at basicgospel.net and join us in getting the word out. And when you give this month, you're going to receive a copy of our DVD called Your Living Hope. So again, click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we had this question from Gregory. He says, I am very thankful for the ministry of Basic Gospel. I stream your program on YouTube, so hopefully you'll be able to answer my question someday soon. Well, Gregory, your day has come. He said, my question has to do with what is called the third use of the law. What exactly is the third use of the law?
Well, it's interesting. You know, the law had a purpose for the nation of Israel. It was kind of their rule of life. You can imagine what life would have been like apart from this Mosaic covenant for them. They had just been set free from Egypt after 400 years of living in bondage, living as slaves in Egypt, and now they're free. Well, they need an ordered way of life. Otherwise, it's going to be chaos and anarchy. So God, in his kindness and his grace, provided a covenant, and he provided a way of life for them as contained in the law. But the real thing that set them apart was God's very presence among them. So that law had a purpose for the nation of Israel, much like our Constitution and Declaration of Independence. So it had a purpose for the nation of Israel. Then it had another purpose spiritually, and that was to serve as like a mirror to show us God's righteousness and our unrighteousness. So through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Through the law, that law shuts our mouths and we become accountable to God. Mm-hmm. So it has a purpose to show us our need for Christ. And once we see that need, then we turn to Christ for salvation. Now, there's a theology. John Calvin kind of put this forth, and he said, now here's the third use of it. And that's to be our guide once we've been regenerated. So this law serves as a guide. Now, I don't think that holds up to Scripture.
Yeah.
I think what the Bible says, what Paul says, that now that we are in Christ, we're no longer under the law, but we are under grace. In Galatians 3, it says, now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So as children of God, we're led by the Spirit of God. So we're not led by the Mosaic covenant. We're not led by the Ten Commandments. That's not our rule of life, nor is it our way of life. Our new covenant is all about faith, hope, and love. So we live by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul put it so clearly in Galatians 2:20. We have been crucified with Christ, yet no longer we live no longer, yet not I, but Christ. In this life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the life that we're called to is a life of faith, a life of trust, a life of dependence upon Jesus Christ. Now, that life of trust, faith, and dependence spells itself out in love, both for God and for others. So that's new covenant life. That's a life that is led by and empowered by the very Spirit of God, working from the inside out. God has never designed something that is supposed to work from the outside in. Laws written on stone cannot affect human hearts. So that's why God had to do something to these hearts of ours. Mm-hmm. That's why he sent the Spirit to take up residence in our hearts. That's why he poured the love of God into our hearts so that this life could emanate from in to out.
Right. Yeah.
That's the way it works. So this third function of the law is something that, reformers from Calvin, through modern day reformers or Calvinists would say, hey, we still have to obey those Ten Commandments. Yeah. Well, you are no longer under that law. Let the Spirit of God lead you. The law may tell you not to commit adultery, but the law is never going to teach you how to love your wife as Christ loved the church.
Correct.
Only the Spirit of God is going to teach you how to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And when you're loving her as Christ loved the church, you're not committing adultery.
Yeah.
That's just a byproduct. It says don't steal. Well, the law is not going to teach you how to love and provide for your neighbors. Only the Spirit of God is going to do that. So be led by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And if you are serving your neighbors in love, providing for their needs, you're not going to be stealing from them. It's just that simple. It's just that easy. So be led by the Spirit. You are under the grace of God. You are no longer under the law.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Bob, thank you for those thoughts, and we appreciate hearing from all of our listeners who call or write or otherwise get in touch with us to pose a question, and we hope that you will take advantage of the opportunity to pose a question of your own. You can do that anytime by calling 844-322-2742. So if you have a question between now and tomorrow's broadcast, well, you'll probably hear it answered tomorrow. So give us a call, 844-322-2742, and leave your voicemail with your question, or you can email bob@basicgospel.net. Very simply, bob@basicgospel.net. Want to remind you that Bob has posted a new video this past week, as a matter of fact, Why Am I Always Angry? That's on our YouTube channel. We hope you'll take advantage of that as well. Well, again, thanks for joining us today for Basic Gospel, everyone. And remember what Bob said earlier in the broadcast, our need of $50,000 coming up to the end of September to keep this good news coming on your station and on your online stream. So we encourage you to go online to basicgospel.net, click that big prominent donate link. And when you give in September, we're going to send you our DVD called Your Living Hope. It's our way of saying thank you for your support of this ministry of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ that we call and know and love as Basic Gospel. So click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and receive your copy of Your Living Hope. Again, please donate at basicgospel.net. Remember also that we have a wonderful lineup of resources, and you will find them all when you visit the website, basicgospel.net. Under the Resources tab, you'll find our online store, and there you'll find Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, along with all the other resources that we produced to aid you toward spiritual growth and maturity. So take advantage of that. Again, that's under the Resources tab at basicgospel.net. But until tomorrow, for Bob Christopher, for all of the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again with your questions. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.